picture walking into a cutting-edge healthcare clinic today. You know, everything is just completely seamless.
Oh, absolutely. It's a completely curated experience.
Right. You check in on a sleek tablet. The waiting room looks like a high-end lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And your physician pulls up your entire medical history on a pristine monitor in seconds.
Right.
It looks flawless.
Yeah.
But if you were to peek behind the digital curtain at how the remote staff is actually accessing and sharing that data,
we'll be terrified.
Exactly. You might be terrified to find a system held together by, like, digital duct tape and the sheer willpower of burned-out employees.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
I mean, back in the early 2020s, healthcare IT was in pure survival mode. Clinics just needed to keep telehealth calls from dropping.
Just keeping the lights on, basically.
Right. But sitting here in mid-2026, hybrid work in healthcare isn't a temporary emergency measure anymore. Mm-hmm. It is the permanent reality of how medicine operates.
It's the infrastructure of modern care entirely.
Yeah.
And the tension we're seeing right now is that those emergency stopgap measures from a few years ago are starting to buckle under the weight of long-term use.
Which makes sense.
Right. A massive realization is sweeping through the industry right now. You simply cannot run a modern, secure, and compliant healthcare practice on workarounds.
Which is exactly why we are diving into this specific stack of research today.
It's a really timely topic.
It really is. We're looking at a comprehensive 2026 strategic framework and an implementation roadmap designed specifically for securing remote healthcare teams.
Yeah, and it's got some really solid data.
It does. Now, the source material focuses heavily on the fiercely competitive Orange County healthcare market in California.
Right, the OC market is intense.
Very intense. Mm-hmm. But the operational failures and the solutions detailed here apply to any practice anywhere.
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay, let's unpack this. The mission for our deep dive today is to figure out how healthcare administrators can keep their remote teams highly productive without ever compromising patient data.
That's the ultimate balancing act.
Right. We want to understand how a clinic transforms security from a generic, deeply annoying IT checklist into, like, a seamless, invisible operational habit.
The word invisible is key there, I think.
Yeah.
Because when you analyze the data on how practices are actually operating in 2026, a really surprising pattern emerges.
What's the pattern?
Well, most organizations are not failing at data security because they lack the right software or because they can't afford, you know, enterprise-grade tools.
Right, they have the budgets.
Exactly. They are failing because of friction. They fail because of internal uncertainty.
Interesting.
The tools are present, but the way they've been deployed creates so much drag on the daily workflow that intelligent, well-meaning healthcare professionals naturally look for workarounds.
Just to get their jobs done.
Precisely. Just to do what they were hired to do.
So let's get into the reality of what that friction looks like on the ground. Because the sources highlight incredibly specific everyday risks.
Yeah, it's not what most people picture.
No. We aren't talking about shadowy international syndicates hacking a mainframe.
Right.
We are talking about a nurse using their personal iPad to check a patient's chart because, well, the clinic-issued laptop takes 10 minutes to boot up.
Exactly. Or an administrator trying to upload a sensitive insurance document over a weak public Wi-Fi network at a coffee shop.
Because they had to leave the house, right?
Yeah. We're talking about unmanaged remote access points and teams relying on generic shared cloud folders because it's just faster than navigating the clunky, secure portal.
It's like leaving the back door of a physical clinic propped open just because it's easier for the staff to get in.
That is a great way to look at it. And what's fascinating here is the entirely invisible nature of this specific kind of threat.
Invisible how?
Well, the risk doesn't announce itself with a blaring red siren. It hides behind manual effort and incomplete visibility.
Ah, I see.
Imagine a staff member who is confused about the proper protocol for securely sharing a sensitive lab result with a specialist. To save time and ensure the patient gets answers quickly, they just email it from a personal Gmail account.
Oh, well. Yeah, that happens all the time.
Right. And leadership won't immediately see the root cause of that vulnerability. There's no alert that pops up on a dashboard.
Right, because it bypassed the system entirely.
Exactly. Instead, the business just suffers a slow, quiet leak of structural integrity and eventually patient trust.
And the business impact of that friction is staggering. I mean, it goes way beyond the threat of a compliance fine.
Oh, completely.
The framework points out that these internal problems directly weaken patient conversion and retention.
Because the patients feel it.
They do. When the underlying systems are messy, the patients inevitably feel the ripple effects. They get delayed answers to portal messages.
Right.
They experience inconsistent handling of their records. The whole digital experience starts to feel like clunky, and that sends incredibly unclear trust signals.
It absolutely does.
It makes me think of a hospital where every single nurse decides to use their own unique, untested method for sterilizing instruments.
Oh, that's a terrifying thought.
Right. Just because the central autoclave is on the other side of the building. Sure, boiling water in a break room microwave saves them a walk.
And they might think they're being efficient.
Exactly. But they are introducing massive, untrackable risk into the core of the operation.
That's a highly accurate way to frame it, actually, because in both scenarios, the staff is sacrificing fundamental systemic safety for the illusion of immediate convenience.
The illusion of convenience, yeah.
And the real tragedy of the situation is that the staff members don't actually feel supported by these workarounds.
They don't.
No, they feel a constant low-level anxiety. They know they shouldn't be using a personal device or an unencrypted connection.
Right, they know it's technically against the rules.
But they don't have a reliable sanctioned alternative that actually works at the speed of modern healthcare.
So they just wing it.
Yeah, they are relying on their own memory and manual effort to stay secure, rather than resting on a system that guides them safely by default.
This brings up a major logistical hurdle, though.
Okay.
If the root problem is this systemic friction and lack of clarity, how do leaders actually implement a solution without pouring gasoline on a fire?
That is the million-dollar question.
Because if you have a staff that is already burning out from administrative overhead, how do you introduce new security measures?
Right. Well, the source material outlines a three-phase roadmap to move a clinic from just talking about security to actually making it a habit.
And where does that start?
It starts with what they call narrow and important containment.
Okay, phase one.
Phase one. The architecture of this roadmap is specifically engineered around managing cognitive load. You don't try to boil the ocean on day one.
Right. Keep it simple.
Exactly. In practice, the first phase means aggressively standardizing devices so everyone is operating on the exact same playing field.
Makes sense.
You mandate multi-factor authentication across the board. You audit who actually has access to what data.
Which is usually a mess.
It's always a mess. Then you train the staff on those specific narrowed down tools, and you rigorously protect the core cloud applications.
Okay. So a very focused cleanup.
Yes. And crucially, you document these remote work procedures clearly. The goal isn't just to hold a generic awareness meeting, you know?
Right.
It's to produce a documented, measurable improvement in the baseline infrastructure.
Okay, but I have to push back on the reality of that first phase, though.
Go for it.
If the entire premise of our first section was that friction is the enemy of security.
Yes.
Doesn't piling on multi-factor authentication, locking down devices, and forcing nurses into new training sessions just create a mountain of new friction?
I hear you.
I mean, having to pull out a smartphone to authenticate a 6-digit code every single time a physician needs to check a chart, that sounds like it's going to bottleneck care significantly.
It's a completely logical concern. And honestly, it happens to be the single most common objection practice leaders face from their clinical staff.
I'm sure it is.
However, the framework's philosophy relies on a concept called controlled progress.
Controlled progress.
Right. The objective in phase one isn't to create a perfectly impenetrable digital fortress that no one can actually work inside of.
Okay.
The objective is to shift the nature of the friction.
Shift it how?
Yes, an MFA prompt takes 3 to 5 seconds. But previously, that same worker might have spent 15 minutes trying to figure out which shared drive contained the updated patient intake form.
Oh, that's true.
Or sitting on hold waiting for IT to reset a password for an unmanaged shadow IT system.
So it's about trading unpredictable delays for predictable ones.
Exactly. When you standardize the devices and clarify the exact procedures, you are actually removing decision fatigue.
Right.
When staff understand exactly what data they are protecting, where it officially lives, and the single approved way to access it, the mental friction drops dramatically. Predictable routine takes over.
Wow. That reframes it entirely. You are trading bad, confusing friction.
I like searching for lost files.
Right, or guessing at protocols. You're trading that for a momentary, highly predictable security step.
Yes.
It's like the difference between navigating a maze in the dark versus stopping at a well-lit tool booth.
That is precisely it. Which naturally leads into the second phase of the roadmap.
Which is?
Measurement. Once you establish that baseline, you have to define exactly what is going to be tracked, the frequency of the review, and who is accountable for responding if the metrics trend in the wrong direction.
Okay, so not just setting it and forgetting it.
Definitely not. And to be clear, the framework insists on tracking business metrics, not just vanity IT metrics.
What's the difference there?
We aren't just counting how many spam emails were blocked, you know.
Right. Who cares?
Exactly. We are measuring the response time to patient inquiries. We are looking at the volume of internal IT support tickets.
Oh.
We are looking for cleaner, faster operational reporting. You have to prove to the organization that the technical hurdles introduced in phase one actually made the business run smoother and faster.
And then the roadmap moves into phase three, which is where things get permanently locked in.
Right. Standardizing ownership.
The framework dictates that once this remote security system is live, you can't just hand it off to a single IT manager and forget about it.
No, that's a recipe for disaster.
It says you need dual ownership, one business owner and one technical owner, to maintain the system.
This might be the most critical operational insight in the entire source text, honestly.
Really? Why is that?
Because if you only assign a technical owner to remote security, the measures inevitably become too abstract, too rigid.
Right. They just lock everything down.
Exactly. It becomes completely disconnected from the realities of patient care. The IT department will lock things down to the point of breaking clinical workflows.
And if you only have a business owner.
Conversely, if you only have a clinical or business owner in charge, the actual technical defenses will likely be weak or improperly configured.
Because they just want things to be fast.
Right. They prioritize speed over safety. So pairing them forces a necessary tension.
The necessary tension. I like that.
The business owner defines why the remote security matters for patient trust and revenue, and the technical owner defines the safest how.
That makes perfect sense.
That shared accountability is the only way a temporary project graduates into a permanent, repeatable operating habit.
It bridges the gap between the boardroom and the server room.
Beautifully put.
But let's look at the dark side of this equation. We've laid out this logical, phased roadmap. But, you know, businesses read roadmaps every day.
Oh, absolutely.
They launch initiatives, they start off strong, and 6 months later, they fail completely.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Why do healthcare practices with generous budgets and good intentions end up right back where they started?
The root cause of that regression is almost always treating security as a one-time finite event.
As a project.
Right. Leadership views securing their remote workforce as a project to be checked off a list rather than an ongoing operational discipline.
Yeah.
Think about the reality of a medical practice. Staff turnover happens constantly.
All the time.
A new third-party vendor is onboarded. The clinic adopts a shiny new telehealth platform.
Right. The environment is always changing.
Exactly. If there isn't a continuous scheduled review process built into the company culture, all those old vulnerabilities simply creep right back into the workflow.
Like the unmanaged personal laptops.
Yes. Or the casual use of public Wi-Fi.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting. Because I see this phenomenon across every industry, not just healthcare.
Oh, for sure.
The source warns specifically against the activity trap, which is the mistake of measuring activity instead of measuring outcomes.
A classic mistake.
It's like buying top-of-the-line running shoes, organizing your workout clothes in a drawer, putting a fitness app on your home screen.
And then expecting your cholesterol to drop without ever actually going for a run.
Exactly. Buying a shiny new cybersecurity software suite or publishing a dense new policy page on the company intranet.
Or holding a mandatory 2-hour planning meeting.
Right. None of that means a clinic is secure. It just means the staff was busy.
This raises an important question for leadership, though.
Which is?
How they should be allocating their time and budget to avoid falling into that exact trap.
Yeah, how do they avoid it?
When budgeting for remote workforce security, the framework demands that leaders clearly separate urgent fixes from maturity improvements.
Okay, let's break that down. Urgent fixes first.
Urgent fixes are the vulnerabilities posing an immediate existential threat to your compliance, your system uptime, or your baseline patient experience.
Give me an example.
That's the staff member using an unencrypted personal phone for patient texts.
Got it. Absolute deal breakers.
Right. Now, maturity improvements, on the other hand, are the things that make a stable system stronger over time.
Like what?
Things like predictive automation, smoother executive reporting, or, you know, advanced data governance.
The nice to haves.
Basically. You absolutely cannot budget for advanced AI-driven reporting if your remote nursing staff is still emailing patient records to themselves to print at home.
Yeah, that would be completely backwards.
You have to prioritize the urgent foundational fixes first.
And to prioritize those urgent fixes, the source talks about framing the conversation around the cost of inaction.
Exactly. Prioritization often gets bogged down in hypothetical technology debates.
Right, people arguing over which software to buy.
Right. To break that paralysis, leadership has to sit down and ask, what is the quantifiable cost of inaction if we leave this unmanaged remote access issue unresolved for another 90 days?
Putting a real number on it.
Yes. Are we willing to financially accept the statistical risk of a ransomware breach?
Oof.
Are we willing to accept that 30% of our prospective patients will abandon our digital intake process because our servers are too slow and glitchy?
When you frame it like that, it's a completely different conversation.
When you force leaders to frame the problem around the cost of doing nothing, it stops being an abstract IT discussion and becomes a highly objective, urgent financial decision.
That grounds the conversation in reality for the practice administrators.
Absolutely.
But let's look at the external factors. Say an internal team is doing everything right.
All right.
They avoid the activity trap. They've established dual ownership. They understand their budget. The reality is that very few healthcare practices manage their entire IT infrastructure internally.
Very few. Almost none.
Right. They rely heavily on external managed service providers and vendors.
Yeah.
How does a clinic hold those external partners accountable and ensure they aren't just selling them more activity?
Well, the only way to hold external vendors accountable is to tie their performance to external, rigorously verified standards.
You can't just take their word for it.
You cannot simply take a vendor's word for it when they claim your remote team is secure.
So what are these standards?
The framework explicitly directs practices to align their systems with established external context. Specifically, it references the HHS IPA security rule guidance.
Which is the baseline.
Right, the federal baseline for protecting electronic health information. And it also references the CISA telework guidance.
CISA, the Cyber Defense Agency.
Yeah, exactly. And that telework guidance isn't just a suggestion, you know. It's a highly specific tactical playbook for securing remote access.
Right, covering the actual nuts and bolts.
Covering everything from encryption standards to VPN configurations. Your vendors need to be building your architecture to meet those specific blueprints.
And they need to prove it.
And they need to systematically prove their compliance, yes.
You know, the source material actually highlights a specific managed service provider, Technegian, as a model for what this expectation should look like in practice.
Yes, that was a great example.
The core argument is that an IT partner shouldn't just be a passive order taker executing a list of tasks. They have to actively connect the overarching business strategy with the technical controls and the ongoing measurement.
A true partner acts as a translator between risk and operations.
A translator.
Yeah. They help the business understand not just the technical progress that has been made.
Like installing a new firewall.
Right. They don't just say, we installed a firewall. They explain the remaining quantifiable risk, what data is left exposed, what is the strategic plan for the next quarter.
So what does this all mean for the person actually signing the checks?
Okay.
The clinic owner or the administrator listening to us right now who isn't a cybersecurity expert.
Yeah.
How do they know if their IT partner is actually building a resilient system or if they're just getting a monthly pile of undecipherable spreadsheets filled with acronyms?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, accountability relies entirely on plain language reporting.
Plain language.
True accountability from a vendor means their reports must be immediately comprehensible to the executive leadership team.
So, no technical jargon.
A clinic director should never have to pull up a glossary to decode technical jargon to understand their own security posture.
Right. That defeats the whole purpose.
A genuinely valuable report connects the technical implementation details directly to tangible business outcomes.
Give me an example of what that looks like.
It shouldn't say, we configured port 443 and updated the endpoint firewall heuristics.
Because nobody knows what that means.
Exactly. It should say, we secured the remote clinical login portal, which reduced the average staff login time by 2 minutes per session and brought our remote access fully into alignment with the CISA telework standards.
Oh, that is so much better.
It translates the technology into operational reality.
And that plain language translation is particularly crucial when we examine the specific regional context our source zeroes in on today, Orange County, California.
A very unique market.
Very. The framework highlights why this level of operational excellence isn't just a nice-to-have feature. It is fiercely demanded by the local market.
It is.
Orange County is an incredibly dense, competitive healthcare landscape. You have a highly affluent demographic with extremely high expectations for their digital experiences across every industry.
Whether they are banking, shopping, or, you know, booking a medical consultation.
Exactly. If a patient in OC is trying to access a telehealth portal or check a sensitive lab result and the system is slow,
or the interface makes them feel like their data might be exposed.
Right. They aren't going to call a support line and give the clinic a second chance.
No, they will simply take their business to the practice three blocks away.
The one that offers a seamless, modern, and highly secure digital experience. In a market like that, reliable remote systems and fast answers are table stakes for survival.
That local context changes the entire equation. Generic, out-of-the-box security checklists completely fail to factor in the consumer expectations of your specific patient base.
They really do.
In a highly competitive, tech-savvy market, weak execution of your remote work security doesn't necessarily result in a massive, headline-grabbing data breach that shuts down the hospital.
It's not usually a movie plot.
No, more often it's insidious. It just quietly and consistently erodes patient trust.
Yeah.
It degrades your operational visibility. Yeah. It lowers your new patient conversion rate because the intake process feels amateurish.
It is death by a thousand administrative cuts.
Perfectly said.
Which brings our entire deep dive into sharp focus today. Securing a remote healthcare team in 2026 is ultimately about operational trust.
Yes.
It's about recognizing that the way your billing specialist logs in from their home office or the way a nurse authenticates their tablet in a coffee shop directly impacts the physical patient sitting in the exam room.
It's all connected.
You have to take that messy, friction-filled reality and systematically turn it into a documented, measurable asset.
Right.
You need clear dual ownership. You need plain language accountability from your external vendors.
Right.
And you need to stop prioritizing chaotic convenience over structural safety.
It is entirely about moving security from being perceived as an operational obstacle to being leveraged as a competitive asset.
A competitive asset, yes.
And as we look ahead toward the end of the decade, it forces a fascinating realization about the trajectory of patient expectations.
Oh, what's that?
Well, if securing remote work and ensuring a flawless, frictionless digital experience is ultimately about preserving patient trust today.
Yeah.
How might the very definition of bedside manner evolve by, say, 2030?
Oh.
Right? We are rapidly approaching a reality where a healthcare provider's digital infrastructure...
The rigorous way they protect your biometric data.
Yes. The elegant smoothness of their portals, the absolute digital safety they guarantee, all of that will become just as heavily weighted in a patient's choice of doctor as the physician's actual medical credentials.
A digital bedside manner.
Exactly.
That is an incredibly powerful lens to view this through. If a patient feels like their deeply personal health data is being handled carelessly behind the scenes, all the clinical expertise in the world won't salvage that relationship.
It won't. Trust is everything.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the realities of remote healthcare security.
It was a great conversation.
If you're a practice leader or an administrator listening to this, don't let this be just another interesting conversation you listened to and immediately forgot.
Please don't.
Take that crucial first step today. Sit down and confirm your own team's security baseline. Find out exactly where your staff's friction points are and start building that unshakable digital trust. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.